So we're talking about following that baby. Following that baby. Man, that's the craziest name I've ever heard. Good job, Pastor Joe. Makes it memorable, right? They're like, what are you talking about? Like the first thing I thought of was that movie with Ricky Bobby. What was that movie called? Talladega. And he's like, I think of him as little baby Jesus. I'm like, dude, for real? Jesus grew up, but that's the problem. Is a lot of times we think of Jesus as little baby Jesus in the manger, but the realization is, Luke, the second chapter, verse number 40 tells us that Jesus grew up, which means y'all got to grow up too. Yes. Amen. Booyah. All right. So today we want to look at that. So as Joe was talking about that last week, he talked a couple of things. He talked about that we have to grow in our relationship. That one of the very first and one of the very most important things of our understanding is that we have to continually grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I think about things like that, and God does not want to have the basis of your relationship with Him the very same as it was when you found Jesus. Maybe you found Jesus today. Maybe you found Jesus last week. Maybe you found Jesus last year. Maybe you found Jesus last decade. But God does not want the basis of your relationship to be the exact same as it was when you found Jesus. Think about it for a moment. I, on the front row, see my beautiful, loving, and gorgeous, and dang, she's hot wife, Stacy. I met Stacy when I was 15 years old on a bus to church camp. My favorite part of the story is she was dating one of my good friends. But it's all game when there's no ring on the finger. But you see, I have been with Stacy in a relationship type atmosphere, in a relationship type setting for more than half of my life now. I'm 32 years old. I met her when I was 15. There was 2 years of our lives that we were not together in the course of that. So I have been with Stacy over the course of half of my life. But do you know that today, the basis of my love, the basis of my relationship, the basis of my desire for her is not the same as what it was when I was 15 years old. Because my life changed. There are things that happened. We went through high school. We went through college. We had kids. We bought a home. Then we got another home. Then we got cars. And we got this cool thing called debt. And then we paid off that thing called debt. And all these different things happened to us. And you see, the basis of my love, the basis of my relationship is completely different today than it was when I was 15. And we, like Jesus, have got to learn that we got to grow up. That the Jesus that you found on the day you found Jesus, that's the basis. But God says, I want to take you deeper. I want to take you farther. I want to take you to places that you never thought you could go. But that's going to take involvement on your part to get to know me on an intimate level. And so we got to learn to grow up. We got to learn to grow up in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing Pastor Joe was talking about was we got to grow in our spiritual insight or our understanding, our revelation of the Word of God. I think one of the best things about the Word of God is that you can read a verse and you could quote that verse and then you can come back to that verse a year later and read that verse and the revelation of God will speak something completely different in the verse that you read once before. He'll give you something completely different. Why? Because the Bible, although it was written many thousands of years ago, although there were councils, listen to this, there were councils that met not to conspire or to write the Gospels, but rather to confirm the validity of the Gospels. Some of the conspiracy theorists like to say, man, there's a bunch of people out there trying to make all the lies, put into that leather-bound book called the Bible. No, they meant to confirm the validity of the gospel. And so God preserved these words for thousands of years, inspired and breathed by the Holy Spirit, so that when you come with the understanding, God, I need you to speak to me. God, I need you to reveal your heart to me. I need you to reveal your life to me. That God says, because you asked, I'm going to pour it out on you. And exactly that happens. You can read a verse and you can come back a year later and be like, God, you spoke something completely different. Why? Because God wants us to grow in our revelation of who He is. Our revelation not only of who He is, but listen to this, our revelation of who we are in Him. And today I want to focus on that verse, looking out of the context of Luke, the second chapter, verse number 40. The very first part of that I highlighted, it says that Jesus grew in strength and in stature. So Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. Now the second part of that, I have that in the next verse. I want to highlight these words. And the grace of God was upon him. Today, I want to talk to you about growing in the grace of God. Because one of the things that God wants us to do is to grow in the grace of God. Now, when we talk about grace, man, grace is like the hot topic of Christianity. There's a whole revolution going on about grace. And every time we got to talk about grace, we got to talk about works, and we got to talk about what grace is and what grace isn't and what grace does do and what grace does not do. But the interesting thing about the context of the grace that we see here is it says that the grace of God was upon Jesus. Now, when we think of grace, I think of I'm a sinner saved by grace. I think of God's unmerited favor for my life, because grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is honor when I deserve shame. Grace is forgiveness of sin. Grace is a position of authority when I deserved a position of damnation. Grace is everything that I need. Grace is all-encompassing. Grace is everywhere. And grace was given to me 100% the moment Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave. Boom! All of God's grace was manifested to the world. Which means we oftentimes look at grace as the means of salvation. Why? Because the Bible says that by faith, through grace, we are saved. But the grace that's being spoken of here is not the grace of salvation. Why? Because Jesus didn't need that. Jesus didn't sin. For one, he's a baby. For secondly, he was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, but removed from the sin nature of mankind. So Jesus was the perfect spotless lamb. The Bible says that we have a high priest that can sympathize. Why? Because at all points he was tempted as we are. Thank God Jesus knows what you're going through. Amen. Can I get a booyah? But despite all that, he didn't sin. Because Jesus was the spotless lamb. So Jesus didn't need the grace of the freedom and the forgiveness of sin. Jesus needed the grace of God to do the call of God on his life. And that is the grace that I want to talk to you about today. The grace of God to do the call of God on your life. In 2007, now that was a long time ago. That was like ages ago, 2007. That was like before the economy fell apart. Some of y'all were in grade school in 2007. But an article came out about you. You see, you are what they brand as millennials. The curious generation. Everybody's trying to figure out millennials. The selfie generation. And USA Today published an article about millennials and said the life goals of millennials is this: to get rich and be famous. To get rich and to be famous. Why? Because everybody wants to be Mark Zuckerberg. I'm thinking like, man, why did I come up with Facebook? Because I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. Why couldn't I have been like the guys that came up with YouTube in my garage and sold for $1.67 billion to Google? I just need, Lord, if I could get $1.67 billion, I could do so much for the kingdom of God. If I would have just won the Powerball, God, I would have been rich and famous. We want to be rich and famous. Now, okay, they say it's never good to generalize about any generation. Why? Because within every generation, there's variety, right? But let's narrow it down, because I think that we can redeem that statement that millennials want to be rich and famous. When I think of rich, I think of people that are successful in life. I think of somebody that put their hand to the plow, somebody came up with an ingenious idea, somebody who did something that made a difference somewhere, and because of that was rewarded for his effort because they had a life that was successful. So to redeem the statement of millennials want to be rich, let's just say it like this: millennials want to be successful. Can I get a booyah out of that? Booyah. I want to be successful in my life. I don't want to waste my time spinning my wheels, working for the man, and not get anything in my life. I don't want to just work till I'm 65 years old and get in an RV and drive around the country till I die. Can anybody say amen? Amen. I want to do something. I want to be successful in my life. Now, on the other end of that spectrum, they say that millennials, the life goal is... You're laughing because you're like, yeah, I do actually want to do that right now. The life goal is to be rich, so let's just say successful. And the other end of the spectrum is famous. Think of famous people. Whenever you think of famous people, obviously the famous people that come to mind is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, right? Because they're famous. But you see, you think about famous people. Why are they famous? They're famous because they did something. They're famous because they had a talent. They're famous because they contributed something to contributed something to some type of industry, some type of world. They left, how about this? They left their mark on something. And because they left their mark on something, they gained notoriety. And because they gained notoriety, everybody knew who they were, right? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They gained notoriety. And then they adopted babies from Asia. And then that kind of became a big thing too. And then I cut my hair like it. Amen. So to redeem that statement, we want to be successful. Instead of being famous, how about this? We want to live a worthwhile life. They said this word. They said this about millennials, about your generation, that you're less likely to follow a person and you're more likely to follow a cause. Why? Because millennials are more interested in saying, you know what? I got one life to live. Remember, we're the ones that coined YOLO, right? Although the Bible kind of contradicts that. But you could say like this. I like this one. Yo-yo, you're only young once. All right, that's a good one. Well, I guess the Bible kind of contradicts that too, because then you got eternal life, right? Anyways. All right, never mind. So to redeem that statement, we want to be successful in life. And we want to have a worthwhile experience and existence here on earth. Because I don't want to just live. And I don't want to be like Forrest Gump in the very beginning of that, with the little feather floating around in the wind. And that whatever happens my way, there's so many things beyond my control. And life is like a box of chocolates and I never know what I'm going to get. And I'm going to just go through life and I'm just going to float through life. No, I have one life to live on this earth. And I want to do something with that life that's going to make a difference in this world. That's why millennials are all ramped up about things like global warming and things about save the trees and things about like don't fill up the landfills with trash no more. We do that. That's what we're all about. My parents are trying to talk to my dad about the Keurig. I'm like, Dad, you know how much trash you put in the dump because of that little Keurig machine? He's like, what do I care about the trash? I'm like, you ought to. That's the millennials. We want to make a difference. So to summarize that goal and to redeem that statement, we, the people, the next generation, the millennial generation, if you were born after 2000 or from 1981 to 2001, anybody born after 2001? That, you guys aren't, that's not you yet, right? Amen. Hallelujah. If you were born from 1981 to 2001, you are what's called a millennial. So you want to be rich and famous, but let's change it. You want to be successful in life and you want to make a difference, to leave your mark, to have an impact on this world. And that's the grace that I want to talk about. Because today, like it said to Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, Jesus grew in spirit and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon him. And I believe that God has a specific purpose for each and every one of you in this place today. Despite how you came to be in existence, despite how you arrived on this earth, whether or not you were a mistake, whether or not you were somebody's personal pride and joy and trophy, the fact that you are a gift from God does not matter because God brought you here. You are created for right now. You are here, like Mordecai told Esther, you are here for such a time as this. And God has a purpose in your life. And the grace of God, today I want to talk to you about the grace of God exists when you operate in the purpose God has created for you. The purpose that God has created for you. The Bible tells us a couple of verses right after this in Luke, the second chapter, verse number 52. The Bible's talking about Jesus and it says, once again, Jesus answered. Now, this is not baby Jesus. This is 12-year-old Jesus. That's how fast the Bible rolls sometimes. In 12 verses, Jesus is 12 years old. So a verse every year. Amen. And Jesus increased. There it is again. Grow with wisdom and stature. And look at this. And the favor with God and men. That word favor is the same exact Greek word as the word grace, charis. Bible says that Jesus increased. He grew in grace. Today I want to tell you something right off the bat. Before we go any further today, you got to understand this. You know that little, that they call them emojis? You know what I'm talking about, emojis? Right? Y'all are looking at me. Give me a booyah. Come on, y'all know emojis. Dude, we're like the king of emojis. My mom tried to use emojis. I'm like, Mama, you don't get it. She sends like 20 of them in a row. I'm like, you just sent me a whole paragraph and I got every word. There's that 100%, right? I'm going to show up 100. You bringing it 100% today. Amen. The grace of God was 100% the moment Jesus gave his life for you and I on the cross. When he said, it is finished, boom, the grace of God came on this earth. Which means you and I have got to understand that the grace of God does not grow in your life. It's already there. But you grow in the grace of God. God's unmerited favor, God's blessings upon you, God's honor when you deserve shame, God's redemption when you deserve despising, God's bringing you to a place of high when you were deserving to come down low. Grace doesn't make any sense, but grace is less about a dictionary definition so much as it is more about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And today, I want to talk about when you and I live in the purpose that God created us for, we will grow in the grace that God has, because God put you here. God gave you a talent. God gave you an ability. God gave you something that is unique to you. They like to say it like this. They broke the mold when they made you. God broke the mold when he made you. There is nobody else like you. There is, even if you got an identical twin, that identical twin is somebody completely different than you. Why? Because God has a unique gifting for you. And God wants you to operate and to live and to dwell in that grace. So today I want to talk about that. You see, grace doesn't grow, but we grow in it. You are here for a purpose, and today I want to talk about living with the purpose of that. God created you to be you and not somebody else. God created you to be you and not somebody else. You know what happens though? We like everybody else. We look in the mirror and we're like, man, I don't like the way I look. And I cut my hair like Brad Pitt. I'm like, man, Brad Pitt looks so much better with my hair than I look with Brad Pitt's hair. And we look at everybody else and we say, if I could be like them, if I can look like them. Preachers, we like to preach. Man, if I could preach like that guy, my church would be his size of his church. You know, if you're a musician, man, if I could play my guitar, if I could play my piano, if I could sing like Taylor can sing, then I will be as big. And so we try, we strive, we pressure ourselves to become like somebody else, when in the reality is God said, I created you to be you and not anybody else. And I gave you a grace to be you and not anybody else. But we spend so much of our time trying to be everybody else except us. And you know what? In your 20s, in your teens, yeah, you're trying to find out who you are. I don't even know who I am, Pastor Luke. That's great. But you know who knows who you are? God knows who you are. Because the Bible says that God knew you before you were even created. Before you were even a twinkle in your mama's eye. Even if you were never a twinkle in your mama's eye, God knew you. And God said, I have created you. I have brought you for a purpose. And I'm going to give you my grace, my ability, my sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. God said, I'm going to give you my grace to be you. But I'm not going to give you my grace to be anybody else. Speaking of Jesus and talking about Jesus growing, John has this amazing revelation of Jesus Christ. He ties the 7 days of creation in Genesis to the 7 days of creation with Jesus in John the first chapter. And it's a parallel. John chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 1. It's a parallel. And in John chapter 1, in verse number 14, I think one of the most amazing scriptures in the entire Bible, John is talking about Jesus, and he says, Jesus, the Word, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt, he tabernacled, he literally set up camp amongst us. And the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the begotten Father. Look at this. And Jesus came full of grace and truth. He came bringing the whole package. He was born with it. You are born with it. It's not Maybelline, girls. Dang, I should have got a better booyah than that, but it's all right. God has a grace for you that when you are running in your lane, when you are who you are because God created you to be who you are, and you stop worrying about trying to be somebody else, trying to look like somebody else, trying to act like somebody else, trying to talk like somebody else, trying to be as smart as somebody else, but you run in your lane, you begin to step into the grace of God, and God says, man, I got something for you. I dropped it when Jesus died on the cross, and it's there for you, and once you get into that, you are in the zone. You are in the current. Remember Finding Nemo? Right? Remember Finding Nemo and Crush? And he's like, dude. And I was like, dude. And I was like, dude. Right, and they're like, and he's like, righteous, righteous, righteous. I got little kids, so I watch that movie all the time. In Finding Nemo, you see, when you are living in the grace of God, it's like you're stepping into that East Australian current and you're surfing the vibe. You're feeling it. You're like, righteous, righteous, righteous. Except for you're like, I'm righteous. All right, that's cheesy. God created you to be you and not somebody else. And it says that Jesus came and he was full of grace and truth. But look at verse number 15. Right after it talks about Jesus coming, it talks about John. John. Who's John? John was Jesus' cousin. John was a miracle just like Jesus, except that John was 6 months older than Jesus. Oh, he's that older cousin. You know what I'm talking about? Man, they always get all the attention. Everybody's always talking about them. I'm always in their shadow. And here's John. John was a little bit crazy. John was in the wilderness. He wore camel hair skins. That's kind of crazy, all right? Everybody else was wearing like linen and clothes. And John was like, no, I'm a skinning animal. And he ate locusts and honey. And he preached the gospel of God. The Bible says that the spirit of Elijah was upon John. And wherever John went, people followed John. And they were listening to John. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene. And John's like, hey, my time's done. John says, I must decrease so that that guy whose sandal straps I'm not even worthy to loosen becomes who he's supposed to become. You see, Jesus didn't try to become like John. Jesus didn't show up on the scene wearing camel hair and eating locusts and honey. Jesus showed up in a completely different light. And John, when Jesus came on the scene, John did not try to be like Jesus. They both lived in the calling that God had placed upon them. And church, you are here for a reason. Why? Because God has given you a specific calling in your life. Maybe right now that calling is for you to be a student. Maybe right now that calling is for you to be a mother or to be a wife or to be a husband to your wife. That calling might be to be a good friend to somebody, to be a good son or a good daughter to your parents, to reflect the glory of God. But God has given to you right now at this moment a purpose and a calling. And Jesus and John, neither one of them tried to be like each other. They both lived in the grace that God had for them. And because of that, they were flowing in the current of God's grace, growing every day in stature and in spirit. And God says to you, and God says about you, I want you every day to grow in my grace. I want you every day to take a step, and I want that step to be the next biggest step you've ever taken. And I want you to reach out, and I want you to go further, and I want you to reach out, and I want you to go further. And God says, I'm not going to leave you alone. Why? Because I have dumped, I have showered, I have poured my grace on you so that you can get it done. That's why grace is not about a dictionary definition so much as what God has already done. Why? Because God did it for you so that you can make it. You can make it. Because God called you to be you and nobody else. Grace comes when you're living the purpose that God created you for. Grace comes when you're living in that purpose that God created you for. You know, back in the day when I was in high school, I wanted to be a professional snowboarder. Man, I rode with the likes of Sean White and all those guys up at Snow Summit back in the day when Snow Summit was the big one and Bear Mountain was the crummy resort. Now, if you guys are into snow sports, you know that Bear Mountain's like the extreme sports place. Back in the day when I rode, because I'm old, Bear Mountain was the old school. They had Outlaw Snowboard Park, and they never even groomed it. It was terrible. Snow Summit was where all the big guys were riding, and I was trying to get in on that. And so we had a crew. We had a group that we were always there. I went 92 times my senior year in high school. I rode at Snow Summit. That's a lot. I'm not going to tell you how I got there, but anyways. It's a different story. Thank God for His grace. But I wanted to be a professional snowboarder. But you know what was amazing about my life is that the people I hung out with, I could never really fit in with them. I could never really click. I could never really mesh. I could never really get into that group. Even though I was in, I was always kind of like not in. Have you ever been that way before? When you're standing around a group and everybody's talking and you're like, man, even though they let me in the circle, I'm not even in the circle. The conversation's going and then skips me and then keeps going around. That was me. And whenever they were doing the tricks and whenever they were doing the flips and whenever they were doing the rails, they'd be like, all right, Luke, it's your turn. Do it. Push it. And they would push me. But you see, I never had the gall. I never had the risk. I never had that sense of letting it all go the way some of these other guys did. And so when we did big air competitions and we did all these different things and we were riding the circuit and we were running the circuit, those guys would always outperform. Why? Because they had the ability to let go of the fear of death, whereas I always held on to it so tight. I'll take it like this. Why? Because that was not the grace of God for me in that moment. So often, we try to spend our time, we spin our wheels trying to be like somebody else, trying to act like somebody else, trying to look like somebody else, trying to follow the successes of somebody else. And God says, that's not the grace I have for you. I created you not to be like them, to not look like them, to not act like them. I created you to be you. And I know you better than you know you. And when you decide to step into your purpose, when you decide to step into your calling, God says, I'm going to drop that grace on top of you. And all of a sudden, all the doors that that you've been running into, all the walls that you've been trying to jump over, everything's going to fall down because now you're running in your lane and you're riding in the current of God's grace. And each and every day you can grow in the grace of God. If you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul the Apostle is talking here, and we're kind of picking in the middle of a verse, but I just want to kind of give you a little bit of what Paul was saying here. Paul's talking about the authority of Jesus. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 9, Paul says these words, 15 verse number 9. Paul says, "For I," talking about himself, "I am the least of the apostles. I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Paul the Apostle saying, man, when it comes to resumes, when it comes to qualifications, I'm not worthy. You see, Paul didn't walk with Jesus like Peter, James, and John. Paul didn't sit at the Last Supper when Jesus passed that wine cup, even though we read Paul's account in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Paul didn't sit at the Last Supper with Jesus there. As Jesus told his disciples, this cup represents my blood and this bread represents my body. Paul wasn't there, but what Paul did do? Paul persecuted the church. Bible says that Paul breathed threats against the brethren. He terrorized the church. Paul was a legalistic Pharisee Jew that everything was about the law, everything was about the letter of the law, and he says, "I was perfect in that line, and I was perfect in that matter, but all of those things disqualified me because I was hell-bent on destroying the Christian church or the followers of Jesus." And Paul says, when it comes to qualification, he says, "I am the least of the apostles." Why? Because he was the most unqualified. He was the most unqualified. But God had a calling for Paul's life. You know, sometimes we look at our purpose. Sometimes we look at our lives. You know, we've made some dumb decisions. I've made some stupid choices in my life. Sometimes we look at things and we say, you know what? We like to say it like this. Society even likes to say it like this. You're defined by what you do. You're defined by what you've done. You're defined by the things that in the past that have brought you to the position that you are. Everything that has happened to you in the past has made you to be who you are at this present time. But you know what? God says you're not defined by what you've done. You're not defined by what you do. You are defined by what Jesus Christ did. Because Paul said, "I am unqualified. I don't fit the bill. I am the least of everybody else. And I persecuted the church. The very Jesus whom I preach, I put people to death." But Paul, God said, "Paul, I got a plan. Paul, I got a purpose." And so the world might tell you that it's what you've done that defines you, but God says it's not what you've done that defines you. God says it's what I've done that defines you. And I sent Jesus Christ, born in a manger as a baby, who grew in favor with men and with God, to live in the zone, in the area, in the lane of grace, in the calling of God that I had given to him. Jesus wasn't anybody else but Jesus. And Jesus took that cross and he embraced that cross. And the moment he gave his soul to God, he said, "It is finished," God dropped grace on you and I. It's not about what you've done that defines you. Why? Because some of you in this place have done some pretty dumb things and some pretty humdinger things. But God says, it's not about that. God says, it's about what I've done that defines you. And that's why verse number 10, Paul the Apostle says, "But by the grace of God," by the grace of God, Paul says, "I am who I am." God created you to be you. And you'll never be fully comfortable who you are until you begin to learn to live and operate in the grace of God. You'll look at yourself in the mirror and you'll say, "Man, I don't measure up to the standards of the world. I don't make enough money in my job to be successful. I'll never be rich and famous." But God says, "I have a plan and I have a purpose for you to be successful in life." And that success may not be based on monetary value, but that success is based on how many people you influence in your life. You may not be famous, but God says, "I'm going to make it so that you leave your mark on this world and somebody's going to remember you. If it's only one person, you don't even know who that person is, but God says, I will leave it and I will make it so that you will be rich or that you will be successful and that you will be famous." I mean, that you will be noteworthy and worthwhile in this world. Why? Because God says, you are who you are by the grace of God, which means you don't have to be who you think you are. The you that you know, the you full of vices, the you full of skeletons in the closet, the you full of all the issues, the you full of all the thoughts, the you full of all the things that are jacking you up at night, jacking you up in your head, the you full of all of that. God says, that's not the you that I know. I know a different you. It's the you that I created, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to drop, and I'm going to put my grace upon you so that you can live as you, because that's who I created you to be. And when you decide to start being who you are in God, that's when the grace of God will shine upon you, and you'll be running in that lane, and every day you'll be growing in His grace with favor, with men, and with God. I am who I am. I love that. By the grace of God, Paul says. And His grace towards me was not in vain. Look what Paul says. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but grace of God, which was in me. Paul talks about himself. He says he's the apostle of suffering. Shipwrecked 3 times, stoned, left for dead, beaten, disowned by his family and friends and the people that he associated with. Paul knew what it meant to suffer, and Paul says, I worked harder than everybody else. I was traveling faster. I was talking to Curtis today. Paul says, I wasn't running a marathon. I was sprinting a marathon. I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept running, Paul says. But he said, I did not do it because of my own efforts. Because so often we try to do things our own way. So often we try to say, God, you got a plan for me, and I'm going to arrive at that plan when it's my time, when I'm ready, when I want to. But God says, no, 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 no. Has nothing to do with your time when you're ready. God says, I got a plan. I got a purpose. I got a cause. I got a reason for your existence. And I've got grace for you to live into that. And as you step into that grace, you're going to work. You're going to progress. You're going to go farther. And you're going to look back and be like, man, that wasn't me. That wasn't my strength. That wasn't my ability. That wasn't my talent. Because Pastor Luke, to be honest with you, I don't feel like I have any talents. I don't feel like I have any strengths. I don't feel like I have any abilities. But God says, no, I've got something for you. And it's called my grace. And when you live in God's grace, all of a sudden, the effort, the labor is not on your own, but on God's. And Paul succeeded in his sprint. Paul made a difference in the world writing 2/3 of the New Testament. Why? Not because he was smart. Not because he was educated. Not because he drank a lot of coffee and caffeine. No, because he walked in the grace of God for his life. And Paul, like Jesus, every day grew in the grace of God. You see, God doesn't want you to live in the darkness about His purpose for your life. The question I ask for you as you walk out of this place tonight is, what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to be? You know, you might answer, and you probably will answer, Pastor Luke, I have no clue what God is calling me to do or what God is calling me to be. But you can start somewhere. You can start by being that student that God has called you to be at your college or your university. You can start by being that son or that daughter at the dinner table with your family that God has called you to be. You can start by being that husband or that wife that God has called you to be to that spouse that drives you nuts. And you ask yourself, did I make the right choice? God has called you to such a time as this. You can start today living and operating in your life for what God has called you to do. Because God's desire, God's plan, God's purpose is not for you to live in the dark about His purpose for you. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. Why? Because the gospel of grace, think about it for a moment. The gospel of grace is inclusive. It's not exclusive. Think about it. We were excluded. Paul says that we were on the outside looking in, and then Jesus died on the cross and we were brought inside. The very gospel of grace, the very message of grace, the very essence of grace is that God took us who was on the outside. God took us and said, I'm going to not leave you excluded. Now I'm going to do something I've never done before in the history of humanity. I will include humanity in my plan. That's the gospel of grace right there, that God included you in His divine plan, which means grace is not exclusive. Grace is inclusive. God wants you to know your purpose. The book of Ephesians, Paul the apostle says, he says, man, I'm Paul. I'm an apostle sent by Jesus to you. And I know who I am. I know what I'm here for. I know why I'm doing it. And I know why I have the authority to do it. And he says, why? Because Jesus Christ revealed it to him. By revelation, increasing in revelations like Joey talked about. You see, God wants you to know His plan for your life. But so often what happens is we miss it because we're running. I mean, let's be honest. We're afraid. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go there. I'm not sure if I'm ready to stand out at my university. I'm not sure if I'm ready to make that change to my parents because I know my mom is going to be like, what happened to you? And so I'm afraid of those things, and so I've been running. But you know what? It's going to take some hard decisions on your part to say, God, am I going to try to fight this all my life, or am I going to run in your grace? God, am I going to try to be somebody else in my life, or am I going to be who you created me to be? And am I going to run in my lane? And am I going to get into that current? And am I going to get into that flow of your grace? Because that is God's plan. And grace by its nature is inclusive for you. God wants you to live in grace every day. But you got to make the choice. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs 18, I'll put it up on the overhead behind me. The Bible says that a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. You know, there was a time in my life where everybody around me was speaking, hey, you know what, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a minister. In my early 20s, I went to Bible college, I went to a Christian university and got a degree. And you know what I said? I've seen all the horrors that come from being a pastor. I've seen my family get tossed by people. I've seen my family get just talked bad about. And I said, I don't ever want to do that. I'm not going to do none of that preaching stuff. This is not nature to me, by the way. I die 1,000 deaths every time I do this. But I ran to the point where I said, you know what? God's given me a gift. My gift was I could take a video camera and I could put it into a video. I could film some things and I could put it into a computer program and I could make some pretty smoking hot videos. I was good. I built all the video programs in this church. I mean, I crawled in all the tight spaces. I put up all the projectors. I ran miles of cables. I bought hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of video equipment, and that was my grace. But then all of a sudden, something happened in my life, and that grace literally began to lift off of me. Where I would go into that video room, and I'd be like, man, I can't do this anymore. And I'd sit in front of a computer screen with a video assignment, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the passion. I don't have the drive. I don't have the desire. I don't have the creativity that I used to have. And why? God was saying, you're trying to be somebody else. And I've got a call for you. And you can try to run, and you can try to run, and you can try to run, and you can isolate yourself as much as you want in that little dark video room that is yours. But God said, I got a different plan for you. My grace is different. And the moment I stepped out of that grace and said, fine, I'll be the young adults pastor. Instantly, I got into that current. Instantly, God's grace opened up on my life. I was able to speak in front of people. I'm an introvert. I go home and I'm like, let me alone. Don't talk to me. Text me and I'll text you 6 days later. If at all. But you see, all of a sudden, God's grace comes. And now all of a sudden, when you're running in your lane, when you're living in your purpose, you're experiencing God's grace for you. And the steps, the things that you are capable today because of God's grace are just the start of the things that you'll accomplish tomorrow. Because God wants you to grow in grace. God wants you to take a step of faith. God wants you to reach out and say, you know what? I was created for a purpose. Like David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you look at yourself, don't look at what some celebrity wants you to think about yourself. Don't think about Matthew McConaughey sitting in his Lincoln trying to get some deep reflection in a commercial saying, you got to drive a Lincoln to be like me. God says, I want you to be you. And when you decide to step into who you are and you are finally you, instead of trying to be like everybody else, all of a sudden you'll experience the grace of God to be who you are and you'll be running in your lane and growing in grace daily. And the things that you can do today, you say, Pastor, look, there's not very much I can do today. You can start. You can start. And the things that you can do today are only the beginning of the things that you will accomplish tomorrow and the next day because of God's grace. Because you're growing in the grace of God each and every day. Because God created you to be you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You are valuable, precious to the eyes of God. And he says, I want you to be with me. I'm not going to put it up on the overhead because I didn't tell the graphics department about that, but I'll read this last verse to you. 2 Peter, verse number 3, verse number 18. Peter says these words as he exhorts in his final book to the final letter to the church, he says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Peter's exhortation to the church was, church, understand, God made you for a reason. And when you add to your faith knowledge, and when you add to your knowledge self-control, when you add to self-control hope, and you add hope to hope love, you begin to realize and you begin to operate each and every day that you are living in the grace of God and he has created you for a purpose. He has given you the quirkiness that you may so hate about yourself. God has given that to you for this moment. for this time to make a difference so that you could be successful in somebody's life and that you could leave a mark on this world, a mark far beyond how much trash you put in a dumpster, a mark to change somebody's life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I want to conclude and I just want to pray over you that God would speak His will and that God would speak His desire for you. Because I believe with all of my heart, God wants you to know your value. He wants you to know your worth in this world. And He wants you to know your calling. Because God has called you. He has predestined you. The Bible says you are created for right now. You are in the Inland Empire, even though you might hate it and it's the pits. You are here right now for a reason. And let's accept that reason and that calling and operate and live and walk in God's grace and watch like Jesus as we grow with favor with God and with men, because the doors are open to God moving in your life. Father, I come before you. Lord, I just ask tonight, as we walk out of this place, let us ask the question of you, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? Lord, I ask, as your word says, that in each and every one of us, Lord, if we ask for wisdom, Lord, if we lack it, if we ask for you and we ask in faith, Lord, give to me your plan. Give to me your purpose. God, give to me that calling that you have for me. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that your word holds true and that we can stand on your promises, that you would reveal that to us, because you do not want us to be a people who grope around in the darkness looking for the answers. God, you said, I have already given to you the answer clear as day in my word, and now I want you to live in it. So, Father, I ask, as each and every one of us walk out of this place today, asking, what can we do with our lives for you, Lord, that you would begin to reveal to us that place, that position, that talent, that ability, that calling that you have given us, so that we might step into that calling, we might step into that position, and we might step into your grace, your divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Why? Because you dropped it on us when we stepped into that place. And so, Father, I thank you that you would show us, reveal to us through your Holy Spirit our value and our worth in your eyes. And Lord, I thank you that we will be a people who make a difference, a great difference in this world, that we will be a successful generation for the kingdom of God. And Lord, that we will live a worthwhile life, a life that makes a difference in this place for the kingdom of God. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. Pastor Joe, come on up, man.